I always love the Sunday just before exams. Our students are here, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, with just a little bit more anxiety than normal and a whole lot of hope that this is going to help come tomorrow. Can't guarantee that, but love you having you here, guys. Thanks for coming out. Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Isaiah. I'm reading from the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Listen for God's word. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nation shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. This is truly a beautiful scripture passage amongst the two that Molly read for us this morning, very much coming together and talking of the proclamation of the coming of Jesus, when God will walk on earth and once again be with the people of God. This was probably written some 2,000, maybe 600 to 700 years ago, a good 690 years probably before Christ actually came. And this is an oracle about God and God's plan. In some ways, it is specifically just for the northern kingdom of Israel. It tells of the destruction that is going to happen there. And then Isaiah goes to tell of what will happen after the destruction. And it is applicable to the southern kingdom of Judah later, some 300 years later, 200 to 300 years later, when destruction shall come there as well. The people of both Israel and Judah, the divided kingdom there, if you will, found great solace in these words from a prophet who has heard from God that this is not the end of the world, that things are going to be better. And I have to tell you that as I read this week and reread this text, it's a beautiful text, and sometimes you can get just lost in the poetry of it and the niceness of it and what is there. But reading it again and again, trying to figure out what is God's call for us in these words? What is it that we are to respond? How are we to respond to God in what is here? For that is really what is important. What is this? How does this inform us about how we are to be as Christians today in this world? Now, most of you know already that I spent a good deal of my career, my adult life, in construction in one phase or the other. And I think it creeped into my brain this week as I was thinking about what is God asking from us, or what is it God's telling us that we need to be doing. And at one point, my brain just started thinking. I'm sure it channeled back to the contracting years and building of buildings and trying to work with others to give the client what they wanted and needed, and most importantly, what they could actually afford to pay me. That was always right at the top of my list of things to do. And I'd imagine, said, if God came to me and said, Keith, tell the people this prophecy, and I would tell them, or I would hear from God this prophecy that Isaiah had said, I wondered, what would I think? What would I think that I am supposed to do, and how am I supposed to go about telling them this? So I would probably have a conversation with God that goes something like, what is it that you're looking for, God? Tell us, you know, we got to start working on this issue to make the world into that place you want it to be. And God starts, I need this green shoot to come up out of a dead stump. Okay, hang on for a second. Note to self. Find and hire the world's greatest landscaper. Okay, God. Now let's move on. This is what we go from here. God continues, by the way, this root of Jesse must be tall enough for all the nations or all the peoples of the world to see. Hang on, God. Another note to self. Find and hire the greatest landscaper ever in the world for the tallest tree ever that we're going to have to get for everybody to see. Okay, God, what else? Well, we're going to need to show, Keith, you're going to have to do it so the wolf will lie down with the lamb. Oh, stop again. Hang on. Going to need an animal trainer. Going to need lots and lots of clear plexiglass, because I don't care what God's saying. I'm not putting a sheep and a wolf in the same place. I know how that's going to turn out. If he wants to open it up later, that's on him. God says that the cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Hang on. Got to find a vegetarian lion and bears and a whole lot of plexiglass, a whole lot more plexiglass. And I laughed at myself. This went on for some time in my brain. It's a weird place up here. It really is. It's a strange place. You can ask my wife. She can tell you. She lives with it all the time. But all this was going on, and after a while, I got a good laugh, because the fact is, that's not how it's worked out at all. God says, go tell this to the people, and don't ask questions. Just go and do it. And I know this sounds silly, that I would sit here and have this pondering of what would be my response to this, if I was hearing this. But I think it's really important, because so often we get caught up in this business of figuring out what God's word is telling us to go do, that we forget to look for what God is doing and has already done. The Christmas season, this season of Advent that we are in, the lead up to Christmas, is a time when we remember and remind ourselves of what God has done and is doing for us right now in this place. What God has done for us in the past over all these years. And yet we act like the truth of the incarnation of God on earth in Jesus Christ depends on how well we work. How well we worship, how well we sing, how well we give money. And by the way, I like that one. You can keep a hold of that one. Y'all just make sure you're giving it to the church and not somebody else. But the fact is, what we are talking about is latching on to, understanding, and grasping what God has done, is doing, and will do. And all of this is being done for us, the humans that he has made. It's not up to us to go out and have a very merry Christmas and get the best tree, decorate it the best you can, make sure you get all the presents just right for every person in your family. Yes, even the ones that you don't really want to be with on Christmas Day. Just give it to them early and be somewhere else. All of that is a great thing to do, but what God has done for us in Jesus Christ is not dependent on us to do one damn thing. We just have to live into what God has already done. Now let that sink in really good for a minute. Advent is when we're preparing, though, Keith. We're supposed to work hard to prepare ourselves and get ready for this and get ready for the big moment on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and whatever. Yeah, no. You're supposed to accept what God has already done. And to be sure, let's make sure we cover what God has already done. God, who was walking in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve before the fall, was separated from humanity because of sin. And in Jesus Christ, we are now reunited with God to walk with God in His paths of righteousness. So think about this. A lot of the language that we hear here in Isaiah comes out of the very book of Genesis, where he's talking of all of the animals are finally, they get together, and what's going on? It's a wonderful thing. Genesis 1:30 says, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. This is God speaking at the end of Genesis. And it says, and it was so. This business of the sheep and the wolf lying down together, of young children playing with poisonous snakes, all of this is because God has instituted, this was how it was supposed to be to begin with, and in the coming of Christ, it is again being instituted. This is where we are going, whether we do anything or not. This is what God is doing. Now, God allows us, asks us, wants us to participate in this because it is good for us. It is good for us that we enjoy the love, the hope, the peace, and the joy that we get in understanding what God has already done and is doing still for us in this life. This is what Advent is all about. But Keith, Christmas is coming. We have to get busy. We have trees to put up, ornaments to dig out of the basement or the attic, wherever you happen to be storing things. I got to buy presents, and holy cow, my brother just called and said he's getting married, so now I got to buy a present for somebody I don't even hardly know. I got all these issues. I've got to do this. Great. Have fun. Do it. But God really doesn't want you to work yourself into the dust of the earth. God wants you to enjoy what God has already done for you. We remember it at this table. This table where we remember that Jesus gave His body and His blood and then came back so that we could have this option to enjoy, to live into it. Now I know this world does not seem to be the place of peace and joy that is described here. And part of that is because sin still dwells among us and within us. And it always will as long as we are here, until that day when God is finished and we get cleansed completely again. But that doesn't mean we should wait till then to start enjoying what God has already done for us. That's truly the message of Advent. Enjoy it. Be redeemed. Stop trying to earn God's blessings. They're yours already. And God desperately wants us all to know that and to show that in our lives, the joy, the hope, the peace, and the love that we live our lives becomes a part of that shoot that is so tall that everyone can see it and is drawn to it. I pray for each of you that in these next 3 weeks leading up to Christmas, to that wonderful morning when the 7 or 8 of us who wake up on Christmas morning and actually come here will enjoy. That you will enjoy this entire season and let it strengthen you and boost you, even as there's rumors of war and all other things, that you will remember that in God's kingdom, the wolf won't eat the sheep. The adders won't bite the children. That all will be okay. And you can live in peace and joy and hope, but especially in love. Thanks be to God. Amen.